All right, folks, with the download button on Survivalist Podcast. And as always, folks, you can catch all of our old shows, survivalistpodcast.org, soundcloud.com/survivalistpodcast, and where all fine podcasts are available. Also, too, folks, let's go ahead and not forget about our Rumble channel. I'll leave the link below. Go ahead and check out our Rumble. I make videos and stuff like that on there. I've actually been doing a lot of video production. We've been releasing a video every Wednesday. I can't promise every Wednesday, but I've been doing a video almost every Wednesday. So go ahead in there and check that out. A lot of cool videos. I also live stream Call of Duty and some other video games I play on the weekends. I stream them up there too. So if you guys are interested in that, check it out. Like I said, it's just a cool little place where I get to do a lot of video and stuff like that. I don't think it's as big as the podcast is, but it's definitely a lot of fun. Go ahead and check that out. And also, too, there's a lot of other content creators up there. And one thing that's really nice is since it is Rumble, you can kind of say what you want, do what you want, and none of your stuff gets taken down, which I've had strikes on YouTube and stuff like that. And what really upsets me is I just recently got an email the other day from YouTube about a strike for an old podcast episode from a couple years ago. I just don't understand. I mean, I know they're using AI and things like that, but I just don't understand how these things all of a sudden get found after years of being up. And it really wasn't even that controversial. But like I said, the other thing too about Rumble is Louder with Crowder's on there. He's one of my favorite content creators. I really like his morning show. It's like 45 minutes. It's a little bit longer if you're part of Rumble. I have the official, you guys seen it on my Instagram and all that, the Louder with Crowder mug. Like I said, I like his show. I really like what he does. Some people don't like him, but he is a kind of a controversial comedian. But like I said, I find him pretty funny and I do enjoy his content. So, and I'm glad he's on Rumble. He was, for years, he was with I think it was CRTV. And like I said, I mean, you could only get him if you subscribe to CRTV, but now he's, like I said, he's all for free on Rumble and all that kind of stuff. And it's a great platform. I really like Rumble. He's went there. A couple of big Twitch streamers that got sick of the issues they were having on Twitch went there. It's a growing platform. They have like 75 million people, which is, I mean, a drop in the bucket if you think about how many YouTube has. But, I think we talked about this a couple shows ago, but I think it's going to be the future of the internet is going to be segmented. These little areas of the internet, these little pockets of the internet where you find, content you want on these different platforms. And, you're always going to have somebody that's different, but they're never going to be as big as YouTube. And it's just, you can't, YouTube's like a once in a lifetime thing, especially if they're with Google. So, but yeah, like I said, Rumble, I really like, and I strongly advise you to check it out, especially if you're into freedom of speech and all that. So speaking of things that I've been following pretty closely, we always talk about prep being prepped and all that kind of stuff. But apparently that Japanese quake, I feel bad for all those people. The death toll is up to 161 now. It's really thousands of households still remain without power. They got snow now, so that's hindering the effects of things. And it's just been an unbelievable thing over there. I know we're over there helping out. I mean, I hate to say, because a lot of people say we're wasting more money over there. But in this, it's not like we're fighting a war over there. We're trying to help save lives. Poor people that have, I feel so bad for them, these people. I mean, you can be prepared as you want, but, your house falls down on top of you. You can't be prepared for that. And they're still trying, like I said, to get people and all that. It's a shame. I really feel bad. There hasn't been too many aftershocks. 7.6 is a pretty significant tremor. But like I said, you feel bad. People, lost everything. And then, two, on top of that, the houses collapsed. It collapsed on people. It's just so sad. And then, of course, they had they had fires. They had a fight because of the quake. And like I said, they still have power that's down to places and stuff. It's just a really terrible thing, and I really feel bad. You can be as prepped as you want. If your bunker collapsed under with a quake, there's nothing you can do about it. They do have places that are hardened. People do have homes that are hardened against this kind of stuff. I know, like data centers, especially if they are in areas like this, they're actually hardened data centers so they can be protected against quakes and stuff like that. But it's really sad. Like I said, 565 people were injured, over 1,390 homes destroyed. I just want to bring this up because it's a shame to, we always talk about being prepared, being ready, but unfortunately sometimes, especially at earthquake, you can't really prepare for it. You could do the best you can, but you know, it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes structures just don't hold up to the ground shaking. But like I said, hopefully they have relief there. They have tons of people there helping out. And I have, like I said, I have a lot of people, some people upset me when they say, well, now we're wasting money on helping people. No, I don't think so. You know, fighting a war that's useless is different than helping people that are in this kind of situation. I mean, these people did nothing wrong. This is just, you know, act of God. You know, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. It's upsetting. But like I said, I'm glad we have relief over there for these people. So they're helping out with that. That was a big story this week. And, you know, it's like I said, it's really a shame because, like I said, they're also they at the time when this came out a couple days ago, there's only six people. Now it's up to 160-some. So, I mean, it's, you know, and then what they were worried about, too, was they were worried about possible, when they have quakes like this, they're worried about the ocean and the was it a typhoon when it hit Fukushima a bunch of years ago after a quake? I remember, I think Obama was in office. They actually had to get our military and all that kind of stuff over there to help them. Japan's ready for these things, but, you mean, just nothing prepares you for that. But like I said, they, you know, it's a shame, and I bring these kind of world events up because we always talk about being prepped, but there, unfortunately, it's just sometimes you just can't be prepped for something like that. You can't be prepped for, I mean, you can be as prepared as you want. I mean, if a tidal wave's coming, it's going to, I mean, there's nothing you can do. I mean, you can be as prepared as you want, get out of the area, but, you know, it's a really tough thing. So, like I said, those people, I really feel for them, and, you know, it's a horrible thing, and they've gone through it before as well. So I feel bad for them, and like I said, we wish them all the best. Coast Guards there, everybody they're helping out, our military and all that kind of stuff, their military, their support services, Red Cross, everybody's over there trying to help them. So like I said, we wish them the best. And unfortunately, too, this wasn't Japan also had other news, too, this past week with the five people that died in that Japan plane crash in Tokyo. That was five people were aboard the Japanese, collided with, so the way this actually, it was a Japanese airline that actually collided with a Coast Guard aircraft. Everybody that was on the plane survived, but unfortunately those five people that were actually in the Coast Guard plane did not. And that's unfortunate to lose anybody, but especially the men and women, and they are, the Coast Guard's an amazing team, a group of people, and it's a shame to see any of those people die. They risk their lives to save others, and unfortunately, this was just a situation where, you know, two planes just collided. You know, they call it a near miss, but it's not. It's a near hit, as far as I'm concerned. But like I said, I really feel bad, especially the Coast Guard. I've always had a lot of respect for the Coast Guard folks in the sense of, you know, what grounds the Navy and the Air Force they go out in. You know, it's just really so much respect for those people. My friend, a very good friend of mine, I don't want to say his name on the show, but he was actually, him and I were talking, and we were thinking about joining the military after high school. And I had said, yeah, he was looking at the Navy, looking at the Army and all that. And I had said, nah, maybe I'll just join the Coast Guard. You know, I'm not in the mood to, you know, he's like, you don't. And it was funny, the guy that was recruiting me for the Navy, he's like, you don't want to join the Coast Guard. He goes, they go out in everything. What grounds the Air Force and the Navy, they go out in. So really a tremendous amount of respect for those guys. If anybody too ever wants to really get a good look at the Coast Guard, go ahead and check out. There's a movie with Kevin Costner, and I believe Ashton Kutcher's with it as well, and it's called Guardian. It's a really good movie. Go ahead and check it out. It actually shows you a real behind the scenes of what they actually go through to train these guys. Really amazing people, wonderful work that they do. I have a tremendous amount of respect for those guys and anybody in our military, but especially those guys. They are actually allowed to board other boats and stuff like that if they think there's suspicion or anything like that. I mean, really, not only do they as well, you know, go out and save lives, people that are drowning and stuff like that, but they also are literally doing exactly what it says, coast, you know, guarding the coast against foreign military and stuff like that. They actually really do. It's not just a life-saving organization. They also have other things they do as well. It's quite a diverse group. Them and the National Guards are supposed to be the ones that protect home base. So, like I said, really, you know, tremendous respect for those guys and what they do. And unfortunately, it's a shame to see these five guys lose their lives. It's just a shame. And unfortunately, Lucky enough, everybody in the airline was okay. 140 some passengers, but those five guys unfortunately didn't make it. It's really upsetting. So thoughts are with them as well. So one of the things I wanted to bring up, there's some controversy in the news about why former First Lady Melania was not in the family photo. Apparently, she has went back. Her mother is not doing well. 78. She's very ill. And she skipped the New Year's party at Mar-a-Lago to be with her mother. And a lot of respect for her with that. I remember taking care of my parents when they were ill and stuff like that. No matter who you are, it's a tough thing and something we all are going to have to do, unfortunately, part of life. But that's why she was not there. So the controversy about that has finally been laid to rest. We talked about that a little bit last week on the show. So when Trump was in office, they were always talking about how much time he spent golfing, how much time he spent at Mar-a-Lago and stuff like that. A recent article in the New York Post the other day says that Biden has spent 37% of 2023 at his getaway, either in Delaware or camp or vacation site or Camp David. 37%. So I think that's about on par with Trump. And let me tell you something, I will say this, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, when you are president, it is a 24/7 thing. How many times did it happen to Bush or Obama or anybody even prior to Trump? How many times they're on vacation or they're at Camp David and all of a sudden they have to do a press conference all of a sudden because, you know, something happened and they need to, you know, they have to, you know, take care of that. I mean, when you're president, you are president 24/7, regardless of if you're there or not at the White House. That's just the way it is. So, like I said, that was an interesting article I read, 37%. So it's about on par. Actually, when I looked this up for the show, because I wanted to look at this a little bit. Apparently, surprisingly enough, the guy that spent more time than anybody was actually Bush Jr. He was on vacation more than anybody, over 1,000-something vacation days. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I didn't like him anyway as a president. We all know Dick Cheney was running this country when he was president. But like I said, I thought that was funny. He spent over 1,000-something days on vacation, mostly at his ranch in Texas. So I thought that was interesting. But again, he didn't have to do anything. Cheney was running the country. So, talking about X, Elon Musk, all that kind of stuff, the X platform, formerly known as Twitter, is worth 71% less than what Elon bought it for in 2022, according to the recent information that was released on it. Now, a lot of that is speculation, too. I think, remember, it's not a public company anymore. They don't have to release financials. I would say it definitely has lost a lot of value. And if you are interested in any of this stuff about X and what his thoughts are and why he did what he did with it, go ahead and check out. I believe it's still on YouTube. It's his interview with Rogan, Joe Rogan. He had a couple, I think it was like a month or two ago, where he actually talks about why he bought X, why he did what he did, how X went so far left that that's why he bought it, and that's why he moved. You know, now it's more centered, he says. And that's the other, you know, and now it just it feels like it's right. It feels like it's in he said too far right now because it was so far left. And he's got a whole big thing on that. You could check out all on Twitter. I thought that was rather interesting. Check that out. Like I said, it was him with Joe Rogan. It was actually quite interesting. Like I said, this was all done recently. Like I said, they were saying that Musk purchased the company for $44 billion. And they're saying that it's worth at least 71% less than that. So that's a lot of money. It's just amazing to me that, I mean, you know, I hate to bring it up, but they're saying that one of the things that they're going to have to deal with this is the whole situation of he took out loans on something that isn't worth as much as it used to be. He owes, I think it was the guy that owns Oracle, Larry Ellison, like $1 billion. He owns Jack, the guy, Jack Dorsey, the guy that founded the company, $1 billion. So he owes those two guys, just those two guys only owes $2 billion. He owes money to the bank, which Fidelity is not happy right now because he still owes them money. And, you know, he's lost so many advertisers and all that kind of stuff on the platform. Not looking too good for him. So, well, I'm sure he's not going to lose the company, but it definitely is something that we all should be, not all should be, but he should definitely be concerned with. If the company would declare bankruptcy, he would still own it, but then the bank could foreclose on Tesla or one of them. So we'll have to see. We'll have to keep an eye on it and really see what happens here over the next couple of weeks, months, a year. Like I said, I don't know how long it's going to on, but apparently the bank is looking into the purchase and looking at how much he owes and what he's paid already and all that. And it's there's a whole big article on Fox Business the other day. So speaking of Donald Trump, by the way, we talked about him a minute ago. Apparently Fox News has announced that they will be holding a town hall with the former president in Iowa the 10th, which is tomorrow. This will drop today, but on the 9th. And apparently they're saying that he will be having a whole, they'll be having a whole town hall with him while the other candidates, Ron DeSantis, who else is there? DeSantis, I forget who else is running, but while they're all at the GOP primaries, he will be having his own town hall on that particular on Fox News. So those of you that don't feel like watching the Republican debate, like I said, go ahead and you can watch that. Also, too, by the way, news talking about Biden. They're saying somebody had came out. I want to make sure I get this particular information correct. I made sure I put it down in my show notes here. Let me scroll down. They're actually saying that J.P. Morgan, their strategist, predicts that Biden's going to drop out after Super Tuesday. And possibly somebody else would be the front runner for the Democrats. I've been saying this for a while, folks, and I think he was only going to come in for one term. If you guys listen to the shows from a year or two ago, I remember saying I think he was only going to be a one-term president, and then he was going to... here's what I think is going to happen. They're saying he might drop out. I don't think he's going to. What I think is going to happen, I think he's going to stay in to go up against Trump, try to get reelected. If he does get reelected, what will happen is then after that he'll step down and Harris would be the president and she'll appoint a vice president. I think that's what I think is going to happen personally, because then Harris could run again and then you would have, you know what, you'd have 12 years of Democrat rather than just four. But I really think that's what's going to happen. I think that's the Democrat strategy. I'm still sticking by that. But according to this report, the strategist is saying that he's going to drop out 81 years old. He'll be 81 years old at the time of the election. Yeah, so he'll be 85 if he stays in office. Trump's not much younger than that. But Biden, they're saying that Biden's having health issues and that the White House is keeping it hush-hush. They've been saying that since he got in there. He does have issues talking and stuttering. Again, he has had strokes in the past. I'm not saying he's incompetent. I'm just saying when you do have strokes, my mother had strokes. I've had friends of ours that have had strokes. Once you have a stroke, you do have a stuttering issue. You do have some hard time finding words and things like that. I'm not saying he isn't, but the other thing I would like him to do is, one thing I would like to see, if you remember when Trump was in office, they had him take a competency test. And remember, everybody kept saying, oh, the competency wasn't really a competency test. It was just one that you get if you have a stroke or something like that. Well, why don't they have Biden take one of those competencies? I'd be curious if he'd pass it. I'm not saying he isn't fit to lead. I'm just saying I'd be curious if he'd pass it or not, because I do think he's had some strokes and he does struggle with his words a little bit. I'm not saying he's not fit to lead, but I'm just saying that is very, very common. So, let's see. Also, too, in the Post, I wanted to bring this up because I actually saw this today in the Post, and it made me like, oh, I guess I should bring that up for the show. Apparently, this is the most insane thing. A YouTube was found buried in a couple's backyard, allegedly dying during sex. This is the true story. Apparently, the body of a missing Brazilian YouTube star has been found buried in a backyard of some of his neighbors, who now claim he died during a cocaine-fueled Christmas sex with a couple. 26 years old, and somebody found him buried in the backyard. This is crazy. And the reason why I say this is crazy is because this is like the second time we've heard about this. I'm in Pennsylvania up here, and we actually had something similar to this. About a year or two ago, they found somebody buried in somebody's backyard. It was like I guess the guy died or was missing in the 90s. I guess the guy killed him and buried in his backyard. And I guess whatever happened, they were digging up the backyard and they found the body and the guy still lived there and all that. So that was something like this similar. It's crazy when these things come out. I mean, I don't understand what goes on in these people, but apparently, you know, that was in the news the other day. I was like, what? That was in the front page of the Post. So, by the way, too, speaking of things, I'm not going to get too much into this because there has been so much going on with this, but I'm not going to get into all of it. But apparently now, with everything going on, obviously those Epstein files were released. There's names on there. They're saying Clinton's on there. They're saying a bunch of politicians, a bunch of... they're saying that they're pleading the fifth. They're saying Epstein pled the fifth when all this stuff happened. Obviously found dead in his jail cell. Now, apparently, they're saying somebody else who knew about it was found dead recently, who was supposed to testify. I just think this whole thing, I mean, the conspiracy theory, people are going nuts on this. Alex Jones did a whole show on this the other day on it, so I'm not going to get a whole much into it. We all know Clinton was a ladies' man. We all know Bill Gates was on the list of people that have been to Epstein's Island. The list of politicians that were on it just go on and on and on. I'm not saying, you know, sometimes you're guilty by association, sometimes you are, you aren't, whatever the case may be. But like I said, if you want to read, the list is all of who's on there. I don't recognize a lot of the names, but they have a list of who's on there. They have all these other, it's just an unbelievable, there's just so many names that are on there, and then more supposed to come out. I always felt that it was weird that Epstein died in his cell the moment the cameras went down. That's always been a big conspiracy theory. There's a conspiracy theory about this guy that was supposed to testify now is dead. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, they're trying to keep things hush hush and all that. I don't necessarily doubt that, or I don't necessarily think they're lying about it. I think they are trying to keep it hush hush. Are they killing people? Probably. But like I said, you know, all that is the conspiracy is going nuts on it. Jones has whole shows on it if you want to listen to it. But they're saying more names are supposed to be released now as well. And I'm sure if you're a politician or anybody that's been there, is going, you know, it doesn't want that to come out. So that's, like I said, there's whole shows on that. Go ahead and look that up if you want, if you're really more interested in that. I'm not going to get too much into it, but apparently they are going to release more and more names. So, interesting. So, and we, you know, we've talked about how the news can sometimes take things, you know, make it take one thing, you know, something small, make it something big. And we all know that most things that happen, especially kidnappings and stuff like that, happen from people that are close to you and stuff like that. There was a big article the other day over the weekend about this. Apparently the German newspaper, there was somebody, a person, she's heir to quite a big steakhouse fortune. Her name is Christina Block. Apparently she's in the midst of a divorce. And anyway, her ex-husband had the kids, and apparently somebody jumped out of a van and abducted the kids. And they were investigating, the police were investigating stuff like that, and the news was saying, well, this could be a whole thing to get, you know, for them to get ransom out of the mother and all that. And the amount of press that was covering this thing the whole time, nothing's heard on the ransom request, nothing's heard on this, the inventor. Well, it actually shows that actually, so it actually came out after the investigation that she actually hired somebody to kidnap the kids from her husband because she wanted them back. She hired two guys. They kidnapped him from the father, knocked the father pushed the father, whatever, knocked him down or whatever, grabbed two kids into a van and took off. And apparently it was the mother that actually hired two people to do it. And apparently now she was ordered by the Hamburg court to release the two children back to the father because he's got custody of them. He was knocked out. He got knocked down by two masked men on New Year's Eve in a cafe in the southern Danish town of celebrating with his son and daughter. And apparently it came out that the mother is the one that allegedly had the kids kidnapped and brought to her. So now she could be facing charges over this. I don't know if they will or not. I'm sure either way, no matter what happens, this is not going to help her case any if she's trying to custody of her kids. Something like this. I mean, I can guarantee you this is going to get brought up when they go back to court for custody of, hey, you kidnapped our kids. Remember that? And frightened this crap out of them. So I'm sure, this is not going to vote well for her, but apparently the news was blowing this up over the weekend about, oh, well, the ransom, how much ransom could they ask for? And it was all just, again, I even said this from the beginning of this story when I first saw it, I said, you know, this is probably the mother wanting to, not get back, but, you know, wanting to do, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's going to come out. It's her. It's not going to be a kidnap for ransom. It's not going to be anything like that. It's going to be her or one of the, you know, something like that. It's not going to be as big of a deal as everybody's thinking. Oh, these kids were kidnapped. I'm like, they're not kidnapped. They're probably with the mother or something like that. And I was right. And I hate to, you know, say I'm right all the time, but when it comes to stuff like this, it almost always is a relative, especially when it comes to kids. It's always this. Now, there are times, and I don't remember this, I'm too young, but I remember reading about it. Frank Sinatra's son, when he got kidnapped, that was different. That wasn't anything. That was actually actual ransom with people that wanted money. The guy that started Adobe, the company Adobe, I believe he was kidnapped for ransom once by somebody he didn't know. That does happen sometimes. But generally, when it's stuff like this with kids, it's generally the family. How many times do you find out that, you know, a kid was kidnapped and the kid's been with his aunt for years or something? I mean, this kind of, especially when more children, it's usually not a ransom thing. It's mostly usually a custody thing. Or, you know, something where it just happens to be. Now, it does happen sometimes, you know, but it generally, with kids, it's usually not ransom. With kids, it's usually a custody thing or somebody wants. A lot of times, actually, with kids, if the kids are kidnapped, and I'm not saying all the time because we all started to think about those three girls that got kidnapped with that guy for 13 years, Amanda Berry and all that, but specifically, generally, when it's small children, it is usually a custody thing. Usually. I'm not saying all the time. Because it isn't. I mean, we've seen many fringe cases, but generally people that do kidnap kids want a child, aren't able to have it, and they kidnap them, stuff like that. There's been tons of Lifetime movies and stuff like that made about it. But I said this was going to be exact. I as soon as this happened, I said that was what it going to be and ended up being right. So I thought that was, like I said, you know, that was in the news and it was a big deal. But unfortunately, like I said, I mean, fortunately for the kids, it ended well, you know, as far as they're just with the mother and they're being returned to the father. Thank God it wasn't that, because I'd feel horrible. I mean, a kid that's kidnapped for ransom and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's actually a movie from years ago called Ransom. It's actually based on a true story. It's with Mel Gibson. You can look it up on the internet or whatever. You can probably find it for free online. But where they actually did kidnap a kid for ransom. And I think that kid, I believe, if I remember reading the story right, the kid to this day isn't right. It just totally mentally war on them, and rightfully so. So, but yeah, that, like I said, that was a big news story over the weekend, and the news was blowing it up. And two, speaking of the crazies, there was also another story over the weekend about, I hope I get her name right, Esquizira Tana Remley, imprisoned for 2 years after, or imprisoned for 4 years after she puts a $2 million plot against her husband. I guess she wanted that. She put a $2 million bounty on her husband's head to try to kill him. I guess they were having issues, and she, I guess he was going to get a lot of money in the divorce. So she tried to spend, she was going to, I guess she reached out to somebody and was going to give him $2 million to have her husband killed. They actually found out about it. She pled guilty and she only got 4 years behind bars, but that's pretty darn scary. You know, we've heard, I mean, there's been Netflix movies, stuff like that, where the husband kills the wife and stuff like that. But, you know, you don't hear it as much going the other direction. But you guys remember Phil Hartman? He was Ted in Jingle All the Way. His wife was, I think she was on Zoloft or something like that. And she was, they were on vacation and she was doing cocaine or whatever like that. And she, I guess she got like, she got mad at him or was crazy. She killed him, shot him. I think she shot him. And then, she got in the car and drove, you know, I think to her friend's house to confess it and all that kind of stuff. It was a sane story, but he had, like, I think she got, I forget how many years she got behind, I think she got prison time, but she had to for killing somebody. But I mean, it was the most sane thing. But I know her brother or something filed a lawsuit against Pfizer, of all things. I think it was Pfizer, one of those companies, because they made the Zoloft, and there wasn't like a warning on the Zoloft saying don't mix this with cocaine or whatever. I remember hearing about that stuff. But yeah, so it does happen, and we all remember what happened with Elena Bobbitt and her husband. You know, so it does happen. The wives, women can be vengeful. You know, I mean, mostly it's always the, on any of those Lifetime channels, it's always the you know, mostly the husband that's to blame. But it does go the other way sometimes. It does. So, but that was in the news too. I'm like, this is like the weekend for dysfunctional families in the news. I also like to bring up too, I'm actually a wrestling fan myself, but if you guys, I don't know if many of you guys remember Teddy Hart. He's actually, I believe he's the nephew of Bret Hart or the, I think he's the nephew of Bret Hart. He was actually supposed to be a pretty big wrestling star, or was a rising star anyway. And he actually, there's actually a documentary, on a docuseries on him on Peacock. It's, I think it's only 3 episodes. I watched all 3 episodes, which is actually interesting, where he actually, it shows him, you know, like he had a chance at WWE, and WWE said he was untrainable. He thought he knew everything. He was wrestling on the indies and just completely crazy with just drug use and running the indies, and just kind of shows you what these guys are like. And apparently he was training a young girl and the girl went missing and now they can't find her. He says he knows nothing about it. His passport was pulled, so he's not able to leave the country. And it's a whole big thing. If you're into wrestling at all, like I said, it's Teddy Hart. And that's the whole thing. It's actually well done. It's by a documentary filmmaker. It's actually, like I said, very well done. Usually that stuff is kind of eh, but it actually is very well done. It's actually a shame too. Young, good looking girl with, I think she's a mom with like a couple kids too. And now unfortunately, you know, she's, you know, they can't, haven't been able to find her. They're still, he's being tried for it, but they haven't found a body or anything like that. So like I said, when you watch the documentary, like I said, I don't want to give too much of it away, but it was one of those things where do I think he killed her? I don't think so. But do I think he put her in a very bad situation she couldn't get out of? Absolutely. So that's one, like I said, to take a watch if you're a wrestling fan. We also, too, if you watch, there's another series, too, called Dark Side of the Ring, which is on Hulu as well. You can watch it. I believe it's like a Vice Media show. You can probably find that on the internet. But all that wrestling stuff always makes it onto the internet because, well, we're wrestling people do that. And talking about Jimmy Superfly Snuka and the craziness around him and what he did and how he kind of admitted basically to almost killing somebody, but because of all the trauma and stuff he had to the head and all that kind of stuff, he was unfit to stand trial. I think he's like 76 or 78 at the time. And, you know, I don't know if he confessed, but they found proof and they were going to try him for it. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Also, too, you guys remember there was a wrestler called Dino Bravo. He was one that they just found him dead in an alley somewhere. You know, they don't, you know, there's a lot of, if you want to really look that up, really look, if you are a wrestling fan, you want to kind of see the other side of wrestling, really check out, it's called Dark Side of the Ring. It's actually pretty good. And like I said, the other one is Teddy Hart story. It's on Peacock. So something else I want to bring up, any of you guys that are in Pennsylvania, I think this is a valid story. It's why I know it's a little local for some people, but apparently there is going to actually be, the State Department of Revenue in Pennsylvania announced that this year, 2024, apparently they are going to drop the gas tax from 61 cents per gallon to 57 cents per gallon. So you're going to save about 4 cents a gallon at the pump because of the state tax. I don't think that's that big of a deal. I don't think it's going, you know, to really bump the needle for most of us. But this, I figured this was going to happen because election season, you know, everybody, we all know that gas comes down during elections, and especially in where we live in Pennsylvania, there has always been a state gas tax. And I bring this up a bunch because I remember when they put it on, oh, it's only going to be for the first year. And then after that, it won't be ever. And I'm still paying that damn tax. How long later? But like I said, and by the way, I just want to point that out too. That was supposed to be for the roads, and Pennsylvania still has some of the worst roads in the state, in the country. I'm sorry. And but like I said, so you're going to save about 4 cents a gallon. Prices are going to come down anyway because of the elections coming up. Like I said, I don't think it's going to bump the needle for most of us, but it was relevant news for those of you that live in Pennsylvania. For anybody too, by the way, that lives in California, there's actually, this was a big story that I actually saw on a bunch of business sites. Apparently, the minimum wage in California, it says right here from, actually, this is actually from gov.cal.gov. Interesting domain. Established a minimum wage of $20 per hour for fast food workers beginning April 1st, 2024, and allows the council to increase the wage annually. The annual increase is capped at the lesser of 3.5% of or the annual increase of the U.S. CPI for urban wage earnings and client workers. So that's, again, that was in the news today, or in the news this week. That was a big story, because now, but I will say this, though, and believe me, I'm not, and I think some of the stuff with pushing for higher wages and stuff like that is part of the reason why we have this automation. I mean, part of the problem, one of the reasons why Uber is going with automated vehicles is because they've had such problems with drivers, okay? And it's not like a lot of people say, oh, it's because they don't want to pay wages. It's part of that, I'm not going to lie, but they've also had a very difficult time with drivers. So I have a feeling now that with this, you're going to start, because McDonald's is already experimenting with an automated process to make hamburgers and stuff like that. I mean, they already have the kiosks in and stuff like that. So I could see companies really moving that along. Just when I went to TechCrunch, which is a fairly big startup thing, I went recently, and they already have robots that are assembling tacos and stuff like that. So I think it's only going to be a matter of time before, if they keep driving the prices up, that these companies are just going to go with automation. I can see it happening. It happened to factory workers. I can see it happening to fast food workers. I can see it happening to drivers. So, like I said, I think this is going to be, first of all, it's one of the reasons I'm saying I'm okay with this is California is very expensive to live. Regardless, it's a very expensive area to live. It's just like living, just like New York or Houston. I mean, those are major metropolitan hubs, and you cannot make it at $7-$8 an hour, even $12 an hour. It's just, there's absolutely no, especially with the cost of living going up like it is. So, but I hope that this doesn't hurt the job market in the sense that we're going to lose a lot of those jobs, unless people don't want those jobs and they have no choice. We all remember the problem. I'm from New Jersey, and we all remember the hard times that they had with getting toll booth workers, so they went to Easy Pass. So, I'm all for people getting a living wage. I'm all that, but what I will say is, I have a feeling you're going to see automation get pushed first and further, especially, and not even because of the wage hike, I think because just how hard it is to get help. So I feel you're going to see more of that, and I think this is going to push it even further because if the workers they are going to get, they're going to have to pay good. So, I could see that. One thing I will say, they're saying that State Industry Wage Council is set wages for the fast food workers until January 1st of 2029. So you have to pay people that until 2029. That is the rule right now in California. So like I said, we'll see what happens. That goes into place on April 1st. So they got some time yet. But like I said, we'll see. I'm curious what big companies are going to do. They're probably just going to, honestly, and I hate to say it, this may actually even be a moot point because if you so many places are trying to get people that they are paying high wages, this might actually be a moot point, if I'm being honest. And the last story I wanted to bring up, because it just shows in politics how things just, no matter what happens, things just get, even if you screw up, you get rewarded. So those of us that remember, there was the person that was convicted of ballot harvesting, Gloria Torres, was just named San Luis's vice mayor, or what do they call it? The mayor, the one basically vice mayor. I guess you can call it or whatever you want to call it, deputy mayor. But apparently she was actually convicted of. She was actually investigated. She wasn't merely caught committing fraud. She was actually criminally convicted of doing so. Okay. Now this person is deputy mayor. How does that even happen? I mean, really, how does that even happen? Like, I just don't know. It's got to be, I don't understand how people in politics do this stuff. They screw up and they get rewarded. It's just the way, it's just the way the world works. Unbelievable. So that was in the news this week as well. So big stack of news stories this week. It's the first couple of weeks of January. I'm really surprised we had as much news stories. Usually this is a quiet time of year, but everybody's Congress is coming back. Everything's coming back. So like I said, some other stuff we'll talk about next week. One of the things I do want to point out, I've been watching that, I've been watching that show on Netflix alone. Well, it's not really it's on Netflix, but it's actually I believe it's a Discovery Channel thing, Discovery Plus thing, but it's on Netflix. And by the way, too, folks, just so you know, HBO Max says all their content is from Discovery is on their platform. It's not. There's certain shows you can only get on Discovery Plus. Even though Max says that all their content is going on there, it's not all there, just so you know. But one of these I was watching, they are actually in the wilderness, and it's actually a really cold time of year, and it's snowing and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things I was actually very interested in seeing was that they actually had people that were actually, they were building these, they always build shelters now, obviously, but one of the things I thought was very interesting was how all these people, since they're in the snow, they're actually all making beds on raised beds, so you're not sitting on the cold floor. Very interesting. I thought it was really important. They were talking about how you can have, if you lift your cot up off the ground, and or build like yourself like a raised bed, you put your sleeping bag on there so you're not sleeping on the floor, keeps you warm. Also, too, if you build a fire pit, actually dig it into the ground. So, you know, it not only does it warm, you know, it keeps the place warm, but it'll also help get the ground warm so you're not sleeping on the cold ground if you are on the ground. I thought that was interesting as well. Some of the things they showed, people building shelters, actually building a shelter with like almost like a chimney outside, so that people could actually, you know, you could be in your shelter and have the heat. A lot of interesting things when it comes to building these shelters, especially in the cold winter area and stuff of that. One of the things that I did notice that I never really thought about, but one of the things these guys were doing a lot, I mean, it's hard because the land's barren and stuff like that. So they relied heavily on fly fishing, and they were making their own rods and stuff like that. And one of the things I was thinking about, I was watching, like, you know, these guys are getting so many fish, but eventually as it gets colder and the season starts to change, you know, eventually those fishing patterns are going to change. So one of the things they're doing is relying heavily on fishing. So I thought that was something I was thinking about. Well, that's great, but what happens when with the fishing patterns change or stuff like that? So one of the things I did notice that was kind of interesting, the one guy, talking about being inventive, you had to make your own flies. And one of the guys before he left from home to come up, I guess he had his wife bleach his hair. So he would have, or dye his hair. So he'd have yellow in his hair. And then he also did, had his wife, I guess she dyed part of his hair yellow and part of it green. This way he can cut his hair and use it to make flies. I really was impressed with that. And then he also had back of his hair dyed pink, but that didn't last too long. But yeah, he actually dyed his hair so he can cut his hair and use his hair to make the flies, because you need, you know, because obviously fish are attracted to bright colors and stuff. So I thought that was very inventive. Something I saw, I'm like, wow, you know what? That actually is a good, like, if you know you're going to go out in the wilderness and you're going to need to be making flies and stuff like that, to actually dye your hair like that, because you can, I mean, your hair is going to grow no matter what, so they can chop a little bit of it off and use it to make a fly. So I thought that was really interesting. And like I said, they were actually making fly fishing rods, which, I mean, isn't hard if you obviously wet fly into dry fly. We've talked about all this, but your wet fly goes in the water where your dry fly, you know, floats on top of the water. But they actually are making their own particular, you know, their own flies, their own rods. That's very inventive. Also, too, like I said, one of the things I did notice is this one of the guys was actually boiling and eating seaweed. We always, you know, you hear about people eating seaweed and stuff, but when you actually say it, you know, what they do to eat seaweed. It's they have to boil it and then you're eating it. And it's, I know it's healthy for you, but I can't imagine it tastes that great. But when you're out in the woods, you know, and one thing I have noticed, especially with any of these survival shows, you have a lot better chance of fishing than you do hunting. It's just the way it is, and I don't know why that is, but you always have, you know, a better chance of getting a fish than you do getting an animal. It's just the way it is on all these shows. You have a chance of getting small game, like a fisher or a or squirrels, or like, you know, you always have a better chance of that stuff rather than large game. It's just the way it is in these shows. But One of the things I will say, though, and I brought this up, like the one guy was like, oh, I'm going to get myself a bear so I can, I'm going to get myself. That is a pretty tall order for somebody with only a couple arrows and, you know, all by himself. You know, I mean, it's just a really hard, I mean, you can do it. I've done it, but you know, going bear hunting with a bow is not as easy as it sounds. And these guys especially are, you know, out in the wilderness by themselves and they're going to try to hunt bear. That is going to be a tall order. So we've been watching that. That's been interesting. But one thing I have noticed about a lot of these shows, and I don't know why, but you just seem to get those guys that are the big tough guys always seem to tap out first. But like I said, I was watching that. But one of the things that really interested me, not so much the fishing and stuff like that, but the actual building your shelter, being cold all the time. One of the things I've thought about myself is, especially these guys around the woods in the winter, we talked about this last show, but getting dry firewood, if you knock a tree down or something like that, you have to kind of dig into it to find the dry firewood because the outside is going to be all wet. So one of the things I was watching was these guys, in these woods and then these, they're cutting trees down just so they have dry wood. Or they cut it up and then they leave it in the shelter so it has a chance to dry overnight and stuff like that. So it's a little bit different. Also, too, though, one of the things that is tough with that, too, is getting seasoned wood. I know one of the guys was looking for dead trees just because he knew it would burn better than if you cut down a regular tree. Because if you're in the woods, I mean, regular tree, you're not going to have a whole hell of a lot of that fire. I mean, it'll burn, but it's going to be tough to burn if it's not seasoned, especially if it's damp and wet. So, like I said, when you're watching these shows sometimes, you have to really, I mean, not saying you have to wonder, but it's tough sometimes, like when you watch people, it's like, oh, I didn't think about it. Like, it's tough. I watch it because basically it's educational. It's teaching you bushcraft and some of that. But I thought that was rather interesting. Like I said, one guy was like, well, I'll get a dead tree so it burns better. I'm like, yeah. And then the other problem is if you're in an area like that where it's snowing all the time, it's going to be hard to find dry wood. So you have to get wood and then put it in your shelter to dry out so you can actually make a fire. So like I said, it is rather interesting. And one of the things, too, somebody had talked to me, we were talking about one of those shows, and they had said to me, well, these guys, you know, you think that they're in the woods for these months and months and months. They never, you know, do any kind of agriculture stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, if you were going to stay out there forever, you would. But if you're only going to be out there like 40, 50, 60 days, by the time something grows, it's not going to be worth your. Some of these places, too, where they're at right now are barren. I mean, now's not the time. When they get out there, it's not the time of year to grow something. That's the other problem. Because somebody had said, well, if these people are smart, they'd set up, you know, they start growing their own fruits and or their own vegetables. Yeah, but they're not out there. They're only out there 50, 60, 70, 80 days. I mean, that's not enough time to grow enough to even be substantial. There's a lot of you have to realize, too, in those kind of situations, it's calorie versus reward, you know. I see these guys walking around all day and they shoot one squirrel, and I'm thinking to myself, and I'm not like, I get it, you're hungry, you got to find food, but you know, that's a lot of burnt calories for a squirrel. I know you have to eat, but you know, you gotta, some of these guys spend all day hunting when, you know what I mean? It's like, well, what I, like I said, one of the things that I would do if I was out in the woods like that, I definitely would be making like traps, like fish traps and stuff like that, throw them in the water. And then maybe I would do a little bit of walking around for food, for something like small game or whatever like that, because at least this way you get twice the chance of getting food. I know because the guy that's fishing is going to burn a heck of a lot less calories than the guy that's walking around rugged terrain looking for something to shoot. Again, you're going to get your rabbits, you're going to get your squirrels, you're going to get through all that stuff, but you have a better chance. I personally would do the small game stuff, even though it's less reward, it's a lot safer, especially if you're by yourself. You know, and you're going to be able to process, you know, one of the things too, I've noticed on these shows too, sometimes people get stuff and then they don't have a way to store it or process it. And then they end up losing it. Some people have done well. I mean, I know a lot, I've told people this before. I think I talked about some of those shows. If you get an animal in the woods and it's big, what I recommend everybody just smoke it. Because if you smoke the meat, at least it won't go bad. Obviously we'll wrap it in salt, but where are you going to get that much salt in the middle of the woods? If you smoke it, or, you know, some of that, you can at least, you know, the meat won't go bad. you know, at least this week I'll have it for a while anyway. And like I said, the other thing, part of that too, is rationing and making sure it doesn't go bad. But like I said, it just, like I said, I love watching any of these survival shows. I watch them all. I watch Survive. I watch Alone. I watch all these kind of bushcraft shows because I like why you actually, if you're somebody that's into prepper and bushcraft and all that kind of stuff, it actually is worth watching these shows. You actually learn a lot. I know it's reality TV, so you got to take it at arm's length, but you actually do learn quite a bit on these shows. And one of the things I've always thought about with these shows is, you know, you're going out in the woods to earn money, but they're giving you the camera and all that kind of stuff, saying, okay, well, here's your camera. Make sure you record all your footage and stuff like that. So, I mean, I know these shows cost money to do, but I've always wondered how much, there's got to be so much, as the guy that edits the video, there's got to be so much crap to go through that you can't use, so much stuff that you just have to go through to try to make a show out of it. I can only imagine the amount of garbage video they get they can't use. And plus, too, I think of the money these places are saving. They don't have to send a cameraman or anything like that. They just send you in with the cameras and say, hey, record all this stuff and make daily videos while you're doing it. I've always said, like, wow, no wonder these shows do so well. The cost of production is down. You don't have to worry cameramen and stuff like that, but you do need people to edit the video and stuff like that. But I always thought about that. Like, that's pretty interesting. Like I said, folks, not a whole lot of other stuff today, just a big stack of news stories I wanted to talk about today. Like I said, I will speak to you on the next episode. Thank you very much.